Well, good morning, all. I hope you're not asleep. I hope you're awake. I've had several discussions over the course of this Beltwide talking about this Pink Bullhorn program. And, you know, it really was a model for IPM. We all know that IPM has been talked about since the 30s and 40s. But yet we still struggle to implement it. But it's generally agreed by many of us that a program like this is pretty rare, and to be at the stage we're at right now is a very special thing. And don't know when we'll see something like this again as we move through the later phases of this program. Many of the technical specifications of this program are detailed in my own and others' presentations in previous Beltwides, so I'm not going to beat all that to death. I'm going to try to give you some results. Suffice to say, the major components of this program are maximum BT use, BT cotton use, pheromone technology, insecticides, sterile insects. And the traditional, you know, trapping, treatment, and control. I hope I didn't leave anything out. Did I leave anything out, Tim? No. Pardon? Oh, yeah, host-free period, the cultural control. Yes, I'm going to talk about that today. For reasons of resource management, Arizona was broken down into three areas, Area 1, Area 2, Area 3, started in subsequent years, 2006, 7, and 8. And for the statewide program this year, we had 167,000 acres of cotton, which was a very small increase over 2013. Interestingly enough, about a 900% increase in Pima cotton, long staple cotton, from 2013 to 2014, and the highest overall non-BT cotton percentage that we've had in quite some time. And this has all been very interesting, as one of the reasons to do this pink borer eradication program was to allow the growers to plant whatever they'd like to plant without concern for pink bollworm in their field, which has actually turned out to be a cultural shift, as the BT cottons with the herbicide resistance has changed culturally what's easiest for them. It's much easier for them to not have to deal with a refuge, to not have to deal with herbicide susceptible plants, all these kind of things. And that's an interesting fact as we move into the future and how that's going to continue to shape, change our industry. So in the Area 1, the central and eastern part of Arizona, majority of those acres resided, 134,000 acres, about 13,000 acres of Pima, where traditionally we didn't see that. Not anywhere near that much Pima. We saw much more Pima in the Yuma area prior to this. As I've shown many times, dramatic decreases in pink bollworm numbers. We've always had extreme reproductive capability for pink bollworm in Arizona, 5 to 6 generations. And with this integrated pest management style program, over the years, just dramatic, quick decreases in the populations. At the beginning of the program, I believe scientists were able to detect some frequency of BT resistance, even when we still had insects to analyze. That frequency went away rather quickly. I think it's another testament to the IPM strategy used in this program and the different things that can be done with sterile moths with regard to that. We have not detected a larvae in boll cutting or boll incubating activities in central and eastern Arizona, since 2009. I don't have 2014 on this chart because we don't have all the results back yet. We have gone totally to bowl incubation to make sure that if there's any pinkborn life form at any stage, we capture that. So the bowls that we pick now off of non-BT cotton go into incubation, they go to the university, and they actually do the analysis of those for us. So we'll be getting those results shortly, but so far we've heard of nothing and we expect nothing. In the river counties of La Paz and Mojave, 18,000 acres. We've not captured a moth there since 2011. We've not seen an immature pinkborn life form since 2008. In the Yuma area, which is closest to San Luis and Mexicali, our partners in pinkborn eradication, as well as California, close to 15,000 acres this year, slight decrease in that area. 2,300 acres of Pima. The last moth we captured there was in 2012, and this moth was captured in mid-April in a field that year was to be BT cotton. Was BT cotton the previous year, and all of the fields around it were BT cotton. So we're relatively certain that this was a fly-in from an emergence in one of the last areas where there was a population at the time, which was in San Luis in Mexico. Consequently, their last captures were in 2012 as well. So across the region, we're seeing the same results everywhere, and everyone is concerning themselves in confirmation of eradication status. The last immature we saw there was in 2009. And one of the best indications, when we began this program, you could see massive movement in the region. And each of those little red dots that you see on that map is the location of a pink bollworm and a bollweevil trout, as we still monitor for bollweevil, but we're talking about pinkborn today. There are many, many traps out there in key areas where moths traditionally move. And in the beginning, we were catching 70-plus moths per trap per night in some of these areas. And we've not seen a moth in these trap lines since 2011. So we're getting to a point where, you know, we're reaffirming the results that we've seen, building confidence in what we've done, and moving into a new stage of the program. One of the interesting things about cotton acreage in Arizona, it seems that we're determined to grow more houses than we do cotton. And you can see the downward trend of cotton over time since 1993. Maybe some offset there in efficiencies of production, higher yields with less acres, but overall, the long-term trend is cotton acreage decreasing across Arizona. In terms of cultural control, we have a unique program in Arizona. It was actually the idea of one of our producers, whereby cotton growers are charged a per bale fee each year, and they receive a rebate when they meet the plow down requirements. And the last update to that program was in 1999, and we began the update process in 2013 with a technical review where we brought together the best and brightest minds, most of them from Extension, in plant pathology, cotton production, you name it, meteorology. And we posed to them a series of questions, whether the plow down was still needed, whether it was viable, how short should the host-free period be, all these kind of things, to which they all agreed that it had to remain in place. The minimum host-free period would be 2 weeks. These kind of things. I'll elaborate that more on that in a minute. But one of the problems that we needed to address at the time is that economics had kind of gone out of the program. In the beginning, if we had a $2 rebate and they had 2.5 bales, that was considered a lot of money to them. In the recent years, we heard comments like, well, I can't put a tractor in the field for that amount of money. So some of the economic incentive had gone away. We also have had a long-term trend of high levels of BT cotton, which changes the risk dynamic quite a bit. So we had an annual non-compliance of about 3%. So what we wanted to do was update the plowdown program to reflect current practices and technologies and increase compliance, get to 100% if we possibly could. We've always allowed our growers to plant small grains after shredding their cotton in lieu of tillage of the soil. Something we continue to allow them to do. We've not seen any problems from that in all the years that it's been done. We modified planting dates so that they were no longer a series of days, but an actual date following the plowdown deadline. We allow dry planting 5 days following the tillage deadline, but growers may not water until 15 days following the tillage deadline. So we have a uniform host-free period. Any acreage not meeting the tillage deadline receives a 15-day host-free period following compliance. So if the Department of Agriculture has to bring them into compliance, or if they're maybe a day or two late, they still have to have a 15-day host-free period, and that was one of the holes in our previous program. So what happens if a grower is not in compliance? They lose the rebate, the bale rebate, on the entire FSA number. For just the acres that are out of compliance, there's a $100 civil penalty, which is new. They're subject to abatement by the Department of Agriculture, including a penalty of up to 150% of the cost of abatement. And again, planting restricted until 15 days following compliance. That's about all I have for today. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
So how far away is official eradication?
That's a wonderful question because, again, this year the academics and some of the bureaucrats have begun having discussions on what our timeline is going to be. As it stands right now, we're on a 4-year time frame to declare eradication, which began in 2014. So at this moment, I'm going to say 2017, if everything continues along its current path. Again, as there's discussions going on, it could be as early as 2016, but for now, I'm going to say 2017. So the question is when the 24C or Section 18 would expire for 100% use of BT cotton. And that's a very complex issue and one that we're struggling with at this time. We're making every effort to ensure that sterile moths continue to be available well into the future. And that's one of the big requirements of those kind of exemptions, is having sterile moths available to respond to either a pink worm infestation or a resistance issue, which is very, very unlikely. But what we hope to be able to do is either extend those 24 Cs on out to the into the future because of the shift in cultural practices that they have brought. Going back to refuges in these areas would be extremely costly to our producers. And in terms of pink bollworm, there would be no advantage. So what we hope to do is in the future be able to extend those 24 Cs or find some kind of natural refuge designation for BT cotton in these areas that have been eradicated. But we do intend to keep sterile moths around in an effort to try to make sure that that exemption or that benefit to our growers remains. Thank you.